Last week we were speaking to you about this rich young man and how that Christ spake unto the disciples and said that it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When Christ said this, some of the disciples said, "Who then can be saved?" Looking at this young man, the life that he had led, how obedient he had been to God's commandments, and how that he had observed everything that was necessary, as he thought, and when Christ spake unto him that he should sell all that he had and give it to the poor and forsake everything and follow him, he went away very sorrowful because he was very rich. Christ teaches here then that it is a hard matter for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we all by nature have such an affection for the world and for the things thereof that, just as Christ said, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, but it is also hard for any individual. And when he spake this way, many said, "Who then can be saved?" Probably you say the same thing. Who then can be saved? And Christ gives a wonderful answer. He says, "What is impossible by man is possible by God." Distinctly and clearly, he speaks that it is an impossibility by man. And true it is. To work this great change in any person, to turn him away from the world and away from sin, there is no power, no human power that can perform this great change. It's an impossibility for any one of us to turn ourselves or for any other one to turn us. This only is possible by God. Then it is even possible that a rich man can enter into the kingdom of heaven. For with God all things are possible. By the almighty power of his grace, which works in the hearts of his children, they are turned, they are changed, and they are given to lead the world and to forsake everything and to follow him. Have you ever done this, my hearers? I marvel at what Peter says. Peter says immediately, "Lord, we have left all and have followed thee." Can you say that? That's a wonderful statement to make. Has the grace of God ever come into your heart, and have you been given to leave all? What did Peter and the disciples leave? They had not been rich men. They were poor fishermen. Some, they were collectors of revenue. They were publicans. And they had left this and followed Christ when he called them. They had not sold their riches and given it to the poor. Many of these disciples were married. They had families to support, and they had not done this, what Christ had commanded this rich man to do. But they had left all. In other words, Christ spake that to the rich young man, and they realized that they had been given by the grace of God to do what he had commanded this young rich man to do. They had left all. True, my hearers, when the grace of God comes into any person's heart, they must leave all. They leave the world. They leave everything that they formerly loved and formerly enjoyed in the pleasures of sin. And they are given to follow Christ. I wonder how many of my hearers have been given to do this. Oh, if you never have done this, my hearers, by the grace of God, in what an awful state and condition you still are in. All these disciples, they found it not so profitable for their worldly existence to follow Christ, but they enjoyed immensely his communion, his fellowship here below. Oh, they followed him wherever he went. He was the despised Nazarene, and they were despised with him, but they cared not about this. They loved him, and they cleaved to him, and they walked with him, and they enjoyed so much of his presence that they wanted to be with him all times. So, my hearers, he speaks unto Peter and says that whoever has left father, mother, sister, brother, lands for my sake, he shall in this time and in eternity be rewarded much greater than if he had stayed in his sins. Truly, such a person receives already here below more than what he had if he was wealthy and if he enjoyed so many things of this life. For one moment's sweet communion with Jesus far surpasses everything that we ever have enjoyed in a fleshly sense here below. And oh, if we have enjoyed one moment of it here below, that is the beginning of that eternal communion in glory above, for which Christ prepares each and every one of his children. Today our lesson is about a man by the name of Zacchaeus. We read, and Jesus went down through Jericho. Jericho was a principal city lying 6 leagues away from Jerusalem, 2 leagues from the river Jordan. This city was the first city that Joshua took in when he entered into the land of Canaan. He destroyed this city. It was rebuilt, and we find in Scripture that there were schools in this city for the prophets, and there was also many prophets dwelling in this city, 12,000 by number. This city was a prominent city in comparison even to Jerusalem. It was the next greatest city. And we find that a certain king by the name of Herod, he had a palace therein, and he even died in this city. He was buried there. Christ paid this city a visit. He cured 2 blind men in Jericho. And history teaches us that when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, then likewise Jericho was destroyed. And now Jesus passed through Jericho, and there was a certain man by the name of Zacchaeus, a chief publican, and he was rich. This man then, Zacchaeus, was chief publican. The publicans were creatures that paid unto the government a certain amount of taxes for a certain district. And after they had paid this amount to the government, then they went around extorting these taxes from the people, taking a risk, taking a gamble on how much they could get from the people. Therefore, they were called thieves, extortionists. They gathered more than what was necessary, and many of them became rich. Zacchaeus, he was the chief publican. He had charge of all the other publicans in this particular area, and he gave them each a district over which they would pay the taxes and try to collect the rest from the creatures. Now, this describes him then as being the chief publican. And he was rich. He lived in a beautiful home. He was a wealthy man. But the people, they hated him. They despised him. He probably had received most of his wealth by extortion. by taking it away from the poor people. But now we read that Zacchaeus, he heard about Jesus, that he was to pass through that way. This man then, Zacchaeus, he heard about the miracles and the wonders that Jesus had done. And curiosity working in him, he decided that he would like to see what he looked like, for he was to pass that way. So we find him going to the place whereby Jesus would pass. But when he got there, there were so many other people there to see Jesus that he couldn't see him because Scripture says he was small of stature. Now take notice, my hearers, that in this man there was a curiosity and a desire to see Jesus. You know, many times, out of pure curiosity, people are brought under sermons to hear a certain minister, and God is pleased to work by His Almighty Spirit in their hearts. I would say, if you have any friends, bring them here out of curiosity. Who knows what God might do to them? This man, he went to see Jesus. What did he go to see Jesus for? He just wanted to see what he looked like, what his features were, what sort of a man he was, how big he was and how tall he was. And he tried to get in between the people to see if he could get a view of them. But the people pressed so close together that he couldn't get to the front so that he could see because he was small. Now, he was a rich man, and these people all crowding this particular area, they hated him. If he had tried to push himself through, they probably would have pushed him back again. Did he turn around and go back home and say, well, what's the use of me trying to see this man? See how, even in a natural sense, my hearers, our thoughts and our actions are all from heaven. Believe me. Because this man now, instead of going back home, he ran ahead of all the people. And he went and he climbed up into a tree. Imagine. A man so wealthy, so rich, acting like a little boy, climbing up into a tree to see Jesus. Oh, my hearers. What made this man do this? Was there something going on within him? Was his sins troubling him? Was he anxious to see Jesus, to plead with him? Nothing of the kind. It was pure curiosity on his part. But I am sure that if you, my hearers, are troubled with your sins, if you are longing for a sight of Jesus, then there won't be too much in your way. There may be a lot of things in your way, but you will come through them all. You will press through to see that you might get a sight of this precious Jesus. And now this man, he was up in the tree, waiting for Jesus to come by. How wonderful is the providence of God, my hearers, over each and every one of us. We don't know when Jesus is going to meet with us. He may meet with you here. He may meet with you at your employment. He may meet with you when you're casually speaking with someone else about the things of eternity. We never know where Jesus might meet with us. And we see this man sitting up in the tree waiting for Jesus to come. Oh, my hearers, he was an elect vessel of mercy. Oh, he was chosen by God from before the foundations of the world. And I would say, as is written in the Bible, and Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there was a woman there. He had to convert her. He had to bring her to the fold. Why did he come through Jericho? Because there was a Zacchaeus there, one that the Father had given unto him, one for whom he had come into this world, one for whom he would suffer and die upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, I am sure that Zacchaeus, if he had not been such, he would have went on as a publican and would have died in his sins. But Zacchaeus was known by Jesus before he ever knew Jesus. And Jesus comes along this road, and this Zacchaeus is sitting up in the sycamore tree. And Jesus stops right underneath the tree. He knew Zacchaeus was there. He knew where he had went. He knew all his thoughts and all his actions. And he knew also his life, what his sins had been and how great and how many they were. But that did not stop Jesus. Jesus stopped and looked up at him. Oh, I can see him, picture it, looking up at this man, Zacchaeus. Oh, that look of love, that look of affection. I think it was a look something like that he gave to Peter. When Peter had denied him, he looked at Zacchaeus. And then he spake unto him and said, Zacchaeus, come down, make haste, for I must abide at thy house this day. See, my hearers, by a look, by a word, Zacchaeus is wrought upon in the tree. Zacchaeus is spoken to by name. I know thy name, the Lord says, for I have redeemed thee. He says this in his precious word, and he says this about each and every one of his dear children. He knows them by name. What a wonder this must have been to Zacchaeus, don't you think so? Just out of mere curiosity in the tree, trying to see what he looked like, and then to have this precious Jesus stop, look up, and call him out of the tree, and tell him to come down and make haste. Oh, my hearers, you know, we sometimes are in a lofty height. You know why? Because we are proud creatures. Oh, we think so much of ourselves, and we are so lifted up by pride. This was the first sin that Adam and Eve fell into. They wanted to be like God, and we got the same thing in our hearts. And oh, we are lifted up sometimes to such glorious heights in our own estimation. But when Jesus comes, then he calls us down from them heights. Or he calls us down out of the tree, wherever we may be. And when he calls us, my hearers, we are brought down low. Brought down to realize that we are sinful creatures. Brought to feel our need of Jesus. Oh, I wish that God would bring every one of my hearers down. Wherever you may be seated, and whatever may be upon the throne of your mind and upon your heart, that the Lord may bring you down low. He brought Zacchaeus down out of the tree, and he brings every one of his children down into the dust, that they will acknowledge that they are the chiefest, the greatest, the vilest of sinners. Has he ever brought you down, my hearers? Have you ever said that of yourself? I, the chief of sinners. Oh, what a blessing. It's a sign that God has brought you down. Brought you down to a position where Jesus can meet with you, can save you. And we find that this Zacchaeus, he hastened and came down out of the tree. Oh, how he must have clambered down out of that tree. One thing about Zacchaeus, we don't read that he felt his sins. We don't read that he prayed to Jesus to be saved. That's an odd thing. But you may be sure, my hearers, that this man, Zacchaeus, by this look and by this word, was wrought upon immediately. God is sovereign in when and how much he gives us to know of ourselves. What others learn for years and then find Jesus, Zacchaeus found Jesus and learned later on. Learned more about himself, about his sins, and about his helpless condition. And this man, Zacchaeus, he went along with Christ to his house. Wonderful thing, Christ invited himself into his house. All my hearers, wherever he may enter into the heart of a sinner, he makes that his house. He enters there with his spirit, never no more to leave, to remain there, my hearers. He entered into Zacchaeus' house outwardly, not to remain. But he had entered into his heart, and there his spirit dwelt. Has he entered into your heart, my hearers? If he has, you have a guest that will remain forever and ever. Oh, what a mercy for Jesus to enter into our hearts with his grace. He came then into the house of Zacchaeus. And what do we hear people talking now? Oh, we hear the people saying, he has went into the house of a sinner to be his guest. But they looked down on Christ because he went into the house of this publican who they called a sinner. Oh, my hearers, I'm glad that there's a statement like that in the Bible. For if Jesus didn't enter into the house of our hearts, for we are all sinners, there would be no salvation for any one of us. He entered then into his house. And my hearers, when it was spoken like this, did Zacchaeus deny that he was a sinner? Did he deny that he had done anything wrong? No, my hearers, we see the fruits of repentance and of the faith that Christ had wrought in his heart. For immediately he speaks and he calls Jesus Lord. What a wonder. Oh, how the Spirit gave him to see that this person was Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord of heaven and of earth. And he said, Lord, the half of my goods I give unto the poor. And if I have defrauded any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. See the fruits of the repentance and of the faith of this man, Zacchaeus. All my hearers, here we have a rich man. We have been speaking about a rich man. And Christ spake to him that he should give all what he had to the poor. And he couldn't do it. He went away very sorrowful. But here we have a man that wasn't even told to do this. His heart was so wrought upon, he immediately said that he would give half of what he had to the poor. Oh, see, my hearers, what the grace of God does to a person that has wealth. This man, he was willing from his heart to give half of what he had away to help the poor people. And not only that, but if he had taken something unlawfully from any man, he was willing to restore it fourfold. See here, my hearers, the work of grace progressing in the heart of Zacchaeus. I wonder if any of